And welcome back, everybody, to another episode of Bubba and the Bloom, episode 266, your week 21 Fab preview. We're getting towards the stretch run, folks. So about a little less than 2 months to go in the fantasy baseball season. We'll get you covered all the way to the end, as we do here. But first off, you can follow me on Twitter at BDNTrick, the podcast at Bubba Bloom Pod, on Patreon at patreon.com/BubbaBloom, and my co-host, as always, on Twitter at RyanBHQ, Ryan Bloomfield. How are we doing, my friend?
We're doing good. I mean, just talked to you 24 hours ago, so nothing major in the life of Bloomfield since we last spoke. Went to work, did some yard work, found my wallet, which is actually nice. I had been missing that for almost 2 days.
Oh, no.
Figured my kids threw it, put it down a vent or something, but I did find it. So that was my Thursday. What about yours?
My Thursday involved a lot of work, taking my daughter to her first day of kindergarten. So
that was today.
That was fun this morning.
Dude, yes.
It's a milestone day. Yeah, she's all grown up. Literally just said her goodbyes, went and got in line, went straight to her desk, didn't even like care to say really goodbye to mom and dad. So that was, she's moved on real quick on that one. There's other kids melting down, not wanting to go inside and stuff. And then she's just like, peace. But she's also always kind of been, she's been in daycare since she was 6 weeks. She's kind of always been, thrown out to the wolves.
Same with
mine. She's kind of accustomed to it. She was in summer camp this year, a year earlier than she was supposed to, where they had to do the lines and all that stuff. So she's kind of had an idea. And so it was good, emotional, but good watching that take place. And just a lot of work. And here we are previewing week 21 Fab now. So, yep, just another day in the life of being a dad.
It's a big one. You all start early, man. August 7th. Jeez. I think we still have another month. We don't go back till after Labor Day. But
when I was young, let's go way back when.
Horse-drawn carriage to school.
They had dial-up internet, for crying out loud. Just came out, actually. Might not even have been around when I was in elementary school. You get 3 months off for summer. I remember all that very clearly. Now it's like 2 months. They have so many off days throughout the year for like teacher training and stuff. It's insane. It's nuts. Yeah. So, yesterday was a meet and greet, like if the parents and the teacher and the kid, a little small thing. And today was first day of school. So, yep. Back at it.
Glad it went well.
Yeah, she said she had a great time. So much fun, all that kind of, stuff. So we'll see where it goes. It's going to be interesting because she's in a dual immersion program. So it's Spanish and English. They teach them Spanish, essentially. And when they start out young, it's like 90% Spanish, 10% English. By like third grade, it's 50-50. So, it's going to be quite the learning curve for her. Like, I know Spanish, at least enough to make this work. Mom is struggling with it already. So this will be very exciting.
Her name pronunciations of baseball players might be better than ours in a couple of years.
I might be utilizing her next season. When a AAA call-up happens, I might be bringing her onto the show. Hey, can you figure this one out for me real quick? Yeah, for sure.
I'm game. I'm down for that.
All right. Enough of that. People may care, maybe not. But first pitch, Arizona. We're getting closer, Ryan. Like, there's actually emails getting sent out. The speakers are... Well, because we perform a podcast. Speakers, the list is getting bigger and bigger. So they're going to start probably putting an outline together here in the coming weeks. You probably know much more about this before I completely bury the whole idea of this. What do you got for FPS?
Yeah, you've already botched it. Don't worry about it. Just keep going. No, I'm kidding. 3 months away, man. Less than 3 months away. Our golf outing will be in less than 3 months. So I know we've said this multiple times on the pod. Feel free to skip ahead. But for folks that kind of periodically check in, we are doing our Bubba in the Bloom Invitational golf outing November 6th, that Thursday in the morning. So if you want to play golf with us, just let one of us know or email the show, bubbabloompod@gmail.com. If you're not on social media, and we'll get you a spot. We've got spots available. We don't need to lock anything down for a couple months still. So let us know if you're interested in playing golf with us and just the broader first pitch Arizona. And we've made the pitch many times, but just truly cannot wait for that 3-4 day vacation in Arizona. It is the absolute best. There is I think the next price deadline is like August 22nd. So you got a couple more weeks. If you're interested, hit one of us up if you got questions, if you're on the fence, for more formal information. It's over at baseballhq.com. They got a first pitch logo on the right side of the railing. We will do some type of Bubba in the Blue meetup at some point over the weekend. So be on the lookout for that. We will fill that in with more details as we get to it. But it's just going to be, obviously, we're going to do a live show there and golf and panels and all that stuff. So we're probably hosting drafts as well. I've been running the auction the last few years. Bubba, you run a best ball draft. So there's just so much to be able to kind of take in and do. So we'd love to see you all out there. If you're interested, go over to Baseball HQ, check it out. November 6th through 9th out in Mesa, Arizona.
Yep, and they already said that Saturday night is the Home Run Derby right next to us.
Derby.
At the Mesa, yes. Ballpark, and the Future, yep, Stars game is on Sunday, so that is official. The rest of the schedule has not been released yet, but Thursday night will be the welcome reception, likely at Salt River Field, it looks like, which is, we've done that there before. That's a pretty, they have a little balcony overlooking, I think it was like the third baseline we were at last time.
Yep.
So that's a cool setup, and then there'll be games on Friday, and presentations and golf and all kinds of cool stuff. So come check it out. Again, we won't bother you with it every episode, but we do like it a lot. We support it for a reason because we enjoy it. So we'd love to see you guys there. All right. Not a lot of news. The news that has taken place over the last 24 hours, we will intertwine with the weekly schedules, Ryan. So let's just get right to it. Let's get to the week 21 fab. And this past week, there's only a few teams with seven games. There's a lot this week either, Ryan. So what are we looking at?
Yeah, it's not the wildest week in terms of volume. Seven gamers are Detroit and Minnesota playing seven. Detroit gets seven righties. Minnesota six righties. I'm sure we will cover that in more detail. The Nationals and Phillies get seven games each, more of a split week. They play each other four-game set next weekend. And then your final group of seven-game teams out west, Diamondbacks and the Rockies. I just flew over Coors Field the other day while they were playing, which was kind of cool. Nice. We connected through Denver. Lights were on.
Already Clement hitting a home run at that point in time? Or
No. Anola was not in the game yet. No, that was the Barrios night. So, So in terms of, speaking of Coors, there are Rockies are at home for four for that Arizona series. They are on the road for the first part of the week at St. Louis. Six games at Great American Small Park for the Cincinnati Reds, hosting the Phillies and the Brewers next week. And then the Athletics are the other one we need to talk about, right? That's the other one that sticks out. They are at home for all six against the Rays and the Angels, five of which are against right-handed pitching. Going to say it right now. Great week for J.J. Bleda, who's 11% rostered in OCs right now. So, there we go. I think that's all we got from a kind of macro level. No team plays five games. No team has played five games, I think, all year. So that's nice.
It is nice because this past week we had like none of the ballparks we love to target. Now we get three of the four. So yeah, at least some streamability potential as we go through this will be something to discuss. But let's get started, as we usually do, with the Baltimore Orioles. The Orioles play six games this week, three at home versus Seattle, three at the Houston Astros. Tough schedule. The top two teams in the AL West for this week. Two lefties and four righties for the Baltimore Orioles. Anything standing out to you here? Because that's a tough week to target people.
It is. I'll throw Kobe Mayo out there. And again, we're going to be thrown off since we did not do a fab preview last week. Some of these might be kind of a week lag in terms of like ownership. But no, Kobe Mayo's, yeah, only 27% rostered in NFBC 12 teamers. Baltimore has said that Kobe Mayo is going to play regularly / every day the rest of the season, as he should. Maybe that gets a little more complicated with whenever Ryan Mountcastle comes back, but it that should be pretty imminently, but I think Kobe Mayo is going to be this team's everyday first baseman or kind of get reps at DH or whatever. So hit a home run off of Ranger Suarez the other day. So showing some power. And again, this is a former top prospect, really current top prospect, who just has not been able to, I don't even want to say not put it together in the majors. He hasn't been given the chance to put anything together in the majors. So Kobe Mayo, an extended run these last 2 months, could be interesting even in 12 teamers for me.
Yep, first base, third base eligible. That's a plus. He's been playing first base all week since last Friday. You could have Mountcastle even DH right now, like Jeremiah Jackson's DH right. playing right field like Tyler O'Neill, who's hurt. His wrist is in a splint or in a brace right now. So we'll see where that goes. Yeah, he collided with the wall. X-rays were negative, but it's in a brace for the time being. He's day to day. So there is an opportunity for Kobe Mayo and Ryan Mountcastle, who's swinging it decently in AAA. They just want more reps, apparently. It feels like, okay, he's coming up tomorrow. Not yet. So by the time this comes out on Friday, he hopefully is up. Let's put it that way. But, yeah, Kobe Mayo is definitely a shot in the fab dart, if you want. And Mountcastle is only 33% rostered also, if you want to go take a shot at Ryan Mountcastle.
Yeah, Mountcastle himself, yeah. I feel like more of a fifth. Like, I don't – well, maybe in 12s as well. I feel like he's a probably a bad time to make this comp since Andrew Vaughn is the hottest hitter on earth, but, like, entering the season kind of like an Andrew Vaughn type. So you never know. You never know. So, yeah, Mountcastle himself, that's a good call. One thing I was going to bring up, what's your take on this closing situation in Baltimore? It's so Keegan Aiken has gotten the team's last save on Saturday, August 2nd. Yennier Cano is kind of always maybe in the mix, but never really delivers saves. So I don't know if we want to even recommend Keegan Aiken. There's some other name that you're interested in. I don't know.
No. Like, I thought Corbin Martin yeah. would be decent. He got absolutely shelled in his last appearance, and that's maybe true. That changes. Yeah. He gets a chance, but it seems like the Keegan Aiken show, if you can call it that, this is a show that might be not safe for work. So I think I'd probably stay away from the situation unless you are uber, uber desperate for saves.
Yeah.
Other than that, like, I know Cade Povich came back this last week, got hit around a bit in his first start. He pitches again on Sunday. Just a name to keep in the back of your mind. But this rotation outside of stop me on this one, Trevor Rogers is pretty bad.
There we go.
Yeah. He's like the only thing I trust in this rotation right now.
Pitched well against the Phillies this past week, too.
Yeah, like he's pitched really well. Like, I'm not knocking him. It's pretty impressive to see how the tables have been turned on that one. So, interesting stuff. Let's head to Boston. Six games this week: 3 at Houston, 3 at home versus the sneaky Miami Marlins. All right-handed bats or pitchers, apparently, for now, for the Boston Red Sox to face. What do you like here in Boston?
Not much, honestly. Masataka Yoshida is going to get some run with the six righties, but he's not really doing much. I think hitting like in the 220s. So the good Red Sox are all owned, and the bad Red Sox you don't really want. Like the Abraham Toro thing is, it's not going. So I don't have much on the lineup. I don't have much on the bullpen. And I feel like I say every single week that we're on Harrison watch, on Kyle Harrison watch. Pitched again today.
Today.
Pitched very well pitches. Today. I hate to keep saying it because I've been saying it for the last week, both of us, really last like 3 weeks. And if you stashed Harrison, you've gotten nothing for 3 weeks. But I feel like this is imminent at some point. It just has to happen. But hasn't yet.
Yeah, like I keep putting in my weekly fab column. I said, Kyle Harrison, it's your weekly reminder. He should be up any day if the Red Sox can figure it out.
Right.
So, like, it's just, well, I don't know.
They can figure it out. They can.
Yeah, there's options to get out of the way.
You cannot, you can just move Walker Buehler aside.
Or Dustin May. Dustin May is not good either. Like, Kyle Harrison.
We're not even trade for the guy in the first place.
Yeah. Kyle Harrison's better than May, Buehler, and Bayo, I'd say. Like, he could be your third best pitcher in this rotation right now. It's not even that close.
Yeah, it's nuts.
New York Yankees, they have six games this week, 3 at home versus Minnesota, 3 at the St. Louis Cardinals. All righties on tap for the Yankees again. Ryan, Giancarlo Stanton was one of the hottest hitters in baseball. Giancarlo Stanton doesn't play baseball anymore because Aaron Judge is back. This is very tilting.
That's very tilting. Yeah, but I don't see how they can play.
I get it. It's just very,
you cannot
very
put that dude. You see this guy run, man. It gets worse and worse every year. It's like,
I'd rather put Aaron Judge in the outfield and tell him to throw it underhand to the cutoff man and call it good.
Is there a timetable for when Judge can throw?
I haven't heard anything. Like originally, so I think Stanton, it was. Yeah, it's not good.
I mean, so like Stanton's like a drop.
That's what I'm debating because I picked him up a lot of places a couple weeks ago and I've enjoyed it. It's been awesome. Like he's been very good. But this is a tough hold at this point in time with the crunch time.
Yeah, I don't blame the Yankees for not playing him if you have to play Judge at DH, but it's just tough for Stanton. Big righty week for the Yankees, as you mentioned. So I think Ben Rice gets the nod over Paul Goldschmidt at first base, and maybe Rice plays a little bit of catcher as well, mixing that in with Austin Wells. I think the big thing with the Yankees is, like we've done this a bunch of times, but is Devin Williams their closer again?
Not right now.
I don't know.
No.
Sounds
no,
like they're mixing not. And matching, right?
Yeah, he blew a save. Then he gets the L. Doval blew, well, that one night they all blew saves. That was a joy to watch. Bednar got the save on Wednesday, but he threw 42 pitches in the process. It's a revolving door. I think Williams will get his chances, but it feels like Bednar and Doval might have the lead on this one. So I'm not dropping Devin still, but I understand if you want to at this point in time.
I wouldn't drop Devin Williams. I wonder if this is just another attempt to kind of get him back in. I still think they'll go back to Devin Williams. I don't know. It's more just a hedge, a hunch. They obviously have other options now. Like, it's a really good bullpen on paper, but yeah, it was kind of funny. I was in Buffalo and a bunch of family there are big Yankees fans, and they were not happy with that, whatever that was, that Friday night performance after the trade deadline when all their new acquisitions got torched.
Yeah, it was glorious to watch on Twitter. It was glorious. I love you, Ben, but watching you deal with it in the Discord was a sight to behold because he's a pretty calm guy.
I missed not happy. That. Yeah.
It's a rough go right now in that situation. Bednar, Doval, like I said, Williams will get his because it feels like, well, Bednar got Thursday off, so that helps, obviously. But it's a mess, and at this point in the year, you're limited on time and roster space. That's why I said I kind of understand if you want to drop Devin Williams. I have a hard time dropping Devin Williams. He's just been so bad, so it's like I don't know if they even want to give him too many chances. Like, he'd have to be dominant, I think, to take it back, and we're running out of time to be dominant to take it back.
Good point. So fair point.
That's my concern. This isn't June or even July. We're getting towards the end here, where you might be better off taking, Luke Weaver to get strikeouts and ratios in this bullpen than Devin Williams right now.
I thought you were going to say Keegan Aiken.
No. I'd rather take the alternative there. But
yeah,
it's rough. It's a rough street out there. All right, let's go to Tampa Bay, where they're on the road for 6-3 at the Sacramento A's, which is a good one, obviously. Two lefties and one righty potentially there, though. And then three at the Giants, three lefties, three righties overall, which when we're talking Rays, Ryan, that is never a good thing.
Right, you don't want these kind of split weeks. Plus it is a West Coast road trip, but one is in Sacramento, so that's no big deal. Like, in 15-teamers, you could throw Christopher Morel out there for the first part of the week. Two games. Sacramento, he homered this week. I don't know. I'm starting him in a DC.
It's a stream. I get it. I don't know. The ballpark, the two lefties. I get your process, but man, I made the sound more so because I was so in on Morel to start the season.
Yeah.
And he's off all my fab teams, but he's still obviously on all my DC teams. And it's not fun to look at.
Yeah. Outside of that, I don't have much for the Rays. It's funny how streaky this lineup has been over the last 30 days, Bubba. The Rays have a 82 WRC plus over the last month as a team. Very cold right now, when the previous month Tampa was one of the best lineups in the league. So very streaky, almost a team you could stream against at this point, but
potentially.
I don't know. And that's an 82 WRC plus with Junior Caminero being a god over the last month.
So. Yeah, it makes you think, do you go Verlander on Saturday in that game?
Ugh. I don't know.
Yeah, he doesn't get shelled, but he doesn't do much of anything else. It's just, that's why I don't roster him anymore. But yeah, that'll be a discussion point. Let's just put it that way. It will be a discussion point. And I do want to mention where I want to see who he's facing this week first. Yeah, Hauser pitches against the Giants. That'll be interesting. Like, he's not been elite, but he's been very serviceable, at least in 15. So if you're looking for a pitching stream, I wrote him up this past week for a streaming start. He's been... He had a two-step this past week, I'll say that much. But Hauser's a guy to keep an eye on. I see the smirk on your face. Nothing else there? Gotcha.
It's more a combination of, A, when did Adrian Hauser... Again, I was on vacation during the trade deadline. When did this occur?
Oh, when did he get traded to Tampa Bay?
But then also, B, it's like, are we really recommending Adrian Hauser? I don't know. There was a lot going on in my head there while you were talking. So I just spit out a little smirk. It's about all I can do.
Let's move on to one of the hotter teams in baseball, the Toronto Blue Jays, who have six games this week, all at home, three versus the Cubs, three versus Texas, two lefties and four righties for the Toronto Blue Jays. And as I mentioned, very, very hot team. It was even before Coors. So again, just throw it all on that plate. But keep an eye on Joey Loperfido, who's been swinging it extremely well, did leave, left Tuesday's game, didn't play Wednesday, took 98 mile an hour fastball off his knee. X-rays were negative. They're hoping to have him back on Friday. He's swinging it very, very well right now.
He's swinging it very well. Every single Blue Jay is swinging it very well. This is the best lineup in baseball over the last month. And somewhat interestingly enough, they're doing it without George Springer right now. George Springer, it does not sound good. There is
concussion.
He's on the 7-day IL with a concussion. And I mean, concussion is always tricky. They're taking their time with George Springer. It sounds like there's been no progress there for Springer. So you hope for the best for Springer. You got to hold him until we get something more definitive just because of how well George Springer has played. But yes, that does open up outfield time for Loperfido. Nathan Lucas has been leading off lately. And anytime you're leading off in this type of offense, you like that. And it is a four righty week. So you could roll with Nathan Lucas, who I'm sure is not.
I've been
widely rostered. Yes, 11.
I've been watching him for a while. It's been great. Like all my 15s, I've had some DCs too. It's been great.
Yep.
Yeah. So yeah, keep playing your Jays is the moral of the story here, and see where it goes. And just a side note, this isn't an ad drop situation, but Friday night Scherzer versus Kershaw in LA. So for you nostalgia people, that's one to probably sit back and watch for at least four or five innings.
Good call. Agreed.
Michael C says, I'm seeing 2 days ago Boone saying Judge would begin a throwing program and try to return to the field upcoming homestand, which starts Friday. That would be a plus. I saw Burks up here say, I read Judge wants to be back in the outfield in 10 days. Players always want to be back early. Like it's possible, don't get me wrong, but I think they need him if they do make the playoffs to hit. So I'd take that very slowly if I was them. Let's head to the White Sox. Another sneaky good offense these days. They got six games this week, three at home versus Detroit, three at the Kansas City Royals, three lefties and three righties, which kind of deters things. But man, if you hung on to Lou Bob, you are reaping massive benefits right now. Massive benefits.
Saw a bunch of Lou Bob these last 3 days because they're playing the Mariners, and Mariners swept him, but Lou Bob is hitting right now. Lennon Sosa is,
yes.
Go ahead. Lennon Sosa's hitting second, qualifies everywhere, like draft and hold legend, but also deep league legend at this point, given what he's doing. Yes, this is no longer a stream against type offense. It's been a 112 WRC plus over the last month for the White Sox. League average is 100 all the time for that metric. So White Sox have been 12% better than league average over the last month. And Lou Bob, Lennon Sosa, and I guess I have to say his name.
There's a shortstop. He's 17% available and no sees 83% rostered, if you're curious. What's his name?
His name is Colson Montgomery, who, again, I don't even think he's that, like, whatever, but you keep asking me about him, and he turns into the hottest hitter on the planet over the last 2 weeks. So Colson Montgomery is on fire right now. I'm surprised the 12 team is that low, the ownership.
It's at 83%, so people are still taking their sweet time on that.
Oh, game. Never mind. I thought you said like
a different. No, he's available in 17%. I switched it around on you. I did math.
Can't be doing that, man. Can't be doing that.
I know. You're trying to figure out who's on what team still. I'm sorry, I forgot. But yeah, White Sox, get those bats before they're all gone, because people are like, Sosa's up to 61% rostered in OCs now. That's bonkers to think about not too long ago. Like they're slowly moving on. Your boy Benintendi still 44%. He still hits like one or two home runs a week right now. Like, doesn't hit for much average anymore, but he still pop bitty biceps in the middle of that order. And you look at that schedule; he plays versus lefties and righties. That Scooble starts obviously scary, but that weekend against Kansas City, against Noah Cameron, potentially Lorenzen and Bailey Falter, that's a Lennon Sosa dream right there. My God. So yeah, get your White Sox. Things are popping. Cleveland Guardians, they have six games this week, all at home, three versus Miami, three versus the Braves, one lefty and five righties for a Guardians team that not a ton of appeal. There's one name I'm thinking of, but I'll see what you got.
No, go for it, because I don't have much.
In weeks like this, you can keep streaming Kyle Manzardo. Okay. Like he's actually he's swinging it really well, but they strictly sits first lefty. So five righties, Kyle Manzardo's in play this week.
Absolutely. And it's that first part of the week of the schedule for Cleveland is pretty good. It's the three righties, it's Junk, it's Yuri Perez. You did not look for as good as we talked about Yuri Perez last night, did not look good today. I think it had one or two strikeouts. Edward Cabrera's been good, but pretty favorable schedule for Cleveland this week. So yeah, agree on the Kyle Manzardo stream whenever they get five or more righties in a week.
Yes, most definitely.
Real quick, Cade Smith, Hunter Gaddis. I know this was probably a last week thing, right, with the Class A news, but I guess Cade Smith's already been picked up everywhere. So
Smith's picked up, and Gaddis has two saves over the last week. He's looked very good. I think he's, like, to the conversation, like Devin Williams, I'd rather have Hunter Gaddis than Devin Williams right now.
Okay, I can see that.
Hunter Gaddis is 10% rostered in OCs. The Guardians are still being a lot of ball games, and if they keep moving this thing around, like if you just look at their usage right now, Gaddis got the save Wednesday, Cade Smith on Tuesday, Gaddis blew the save on Monday, Cade Smith got the win, and then Gaddis got the save on Saturday. So Gaddis has had chances at three of the last four saves of inch, basically. That's pretty telling to me.
Agreed.
So yeah, Hunter Gaddis, that's one that slipped through the cracks, which is kind of expected with the trade deadline craziness. Detroit Tigers, one of our seven games teams this week, all on the road, three at those pesky White Sox, four at the Minnesota Twins. We don't want to stream against the White Sox bats, but we want to stream against their pitchers still. Don't stop doing that. Hey. It's all righties for Detroit to face this week. So what are we like in Detroit?
Well, one of those White Sox pitchers is Aaron Cy, who has morphed back into Cy Volley over the last few starts. Aaron Civale has 22 strikeouts, three walks over his last three starts, zero earned runs. So there's my, I don't know. I just like talking about Aaron Civale because I like pain for some reason. Detroit, Wenciel Perez, I think is still somewhat available in 12-teamers. Really like him this week. Obviously, Kerry Carpenter, but widely rostered. You could go Zach McKinstry in deeper formats. It's kind of a, you know, lineup plugger. Outside of that, I don't have much on the Tigers. It's a great week for them.
It's a great week for them. Most of these guys are rostered, as you said. Like, Colt Keith is quieted down, so not too much there, but the Kerry Carpenter, Torkelson, Riley Green, Wenciel's, he had a home run this past week. Dylan Dingler's been great. Most of these guys are all rostered. So
yeah, even Colt Keith is 88% in 12s. Yeah, I mean, he's going to lead off every day, which, I mean, that's nice. So at least start him.
Question for you, though. Kyle Finnegan has gotten the last two saves when they said Kyle Finnegan would not be the closer.
Yeah.
What are you doing with Will Best?
I mean, you have to hold, right, and give this a couple more samples because they said that Vest would be the guy, right?
Yeah, and then back-to-back times he wasn't. So I agree with what you're saying, and I'm not saying cut him either, but if this happens one more week when we talk about this next Thursday.
Yeah. I think
probably a cutting situation.
I think that's fair. And I've got a bunch of Kyle Finnegan and I'm rolling with him until do something else. So
I was tempted to drop him and I'm like, yeah, you know what? There's really not a replacement. Let's see what happens. And thank God. Like I don't think I started him this week, but
I need saves. So I didn't, both the saves pretty clean. So like, it's just one of those, if you get a couple ops, you do well. It's like, why not keep going back to him in the ninth? So that would be huge for Kyle Finnegan. I don't know if he was, I missed that part of the show with you and Ben. Was Kyle Finnegan dropped a bunch not of spots really. Last weekend?
He's still 98% rostered.
Okay. Keep rolling Finnegan out there. Cannot die. He just like keeps closing games.
No one wanted to sign him this year, but yep, I know. Cannot die. I love that kind of stuff. Kansas City Royals, they have six games this week, all at home. Three versus Washington, three versus those White Sox. One lefty, five righties for a Royals team that's swinging it pretty darn good as well of late, but most are going to be rostered.
Yeah, this is one, and they've faced a bunch of righties recently, but are facing a bunch of righties this coming weekend as well. So they're not really changing anything around. I'm not going to sit here and say Adam Frazier, John Rave, Kyle Isbell. So but I don't think there's anything fabulous.
Righty week, Yaz.
Who? Oh, the Yaz?
Five, right? He got traded, by the way, to the Royals.
Yeah, no, I did. I did know that one. I know that your boy is now in Kansas City.
He hasn't been great, so I'm not. I think he's more of a 15 than a 12. But if he's leading off and his team's actually hitting, I wouldn't completely write that off.
What's the latest on my guy? Where's Cags at?
Cags, I actually haven't heard much at all. Like, I know he should be. He should be done with his IL stint, that's for sure. But I have not heard a darn thing about
not running yet is the latest
Roto
Wire as of yesterday. So
I think that's important for this process to run. So you can hold off strike on that out. True.
Whatever.
You could hit strike out or home runs, so you can do nothing or trot. It'd be an option as well. Other than that, when we're looking at the Royals. I just wanted to double check. Yeah, we don't want anybody else in that rotation because it's are you still holding Cole Reagans if you had Cole Reagans?
That's funny. I was looking up Cole Reagans today, and I don't think you can.
Because I've been holding
not enough progress.
Yeah, I'm with you. That's why I wanted to bring it up, because I have been holding, because the initial reports were saying, like, you know, mid to late August. So I'm like, okay, cool, I can live with that. Right. Give me four or five. But it's mid-August
now.
Yeah, that's exactly. I'm like, give me four to five Reagan starts getting ready for the postseason. I'll take that. It's not feeling as great right about now.
And so. I know it that it's natural, that mindset. I've held him for 5 weeks or whatever. I need to keep holding him. He can't play that way. I think Cole Reagans is a drop. I mean, unless he just magically is on a rehab assignment like this week or something, it seems like the ramp up time is going to be quite difficult. And the Royals are 8.5 games out of the Central. I don't know how many the wild card, but a very small chance to make the playoffs. So it's like, shut him down.
As of yesterday, he extended playing catch to 120 feet.
Right. That
he's not like coming back for more than like two, maybe three starts right about now.
How long are those starts? Yada, yada. Yeah. Yep.
So I will be dropping Cole Reagans, and kudos to Mike Kierlin, who basically dropped them immediately. That was a good one. I wanted to hold. Kudos to Kierlin on that. And others, I just know he was a popular one that did that first week. Minnesota Twins, they have 7 games this week. 3 at the Yankees, 4 at home versus Detroit. 1 lefty, 6 righties, but a tough, tough set of matchups right here. What do you got? You going Kiechel?
Yeah, you got to go Kiechel, who kind of played with us this week by not playing on Monday and then going bonkers Tuesday, Wednesday. But yes, get Luke Kiechel in your lineups. I think pretty widely rostered at this point, but make sure you get Kiechel in on Friday, on the day this releases, and keep going.
62% in 12s.
Lower than I thought, but in NFBC he is UT only, so a lot of teams can't even pick him up.
And as we found out before the show, he's only played 4 of his 9 games at second base. The rest are at DH, so you probably have at least another week before he gets second base eligibility.
But it's also, I had a tweet on this. It's very format dependent. Luke Kiechel he qualifies at different positions on every single site that has fantasy. So here it is. Luke Kiechel in the NFBC is utility only. This was from April when he was first called up. So this could have changed. I don't know. Fantrax and CBS, Luke Kiechel was second base only. On RT Sports, which is labor, that's what I play, he's outfield.
That's nuts.
And here's Yahoo from the top rope. Kiechel is first base, second base, and outfield eligible. So,
dude, what is wrong with people?
You gotta love it.
Yeah, something like that.
One other name I'll throw out there. This is a strictly streamer, but he's hitting cleanup against righties. That's Cody Clemens.
Yes, that's what I was going to talk
about.
You
get the 6 righties, and I think you can have fun with that if you need a streamer.
Widely available. I've been rostering him in 15s for a while. Like, you can bench him and stream him, and he's been playing a ton, being very productive. I think he's even 12-team viable this week, especially with that they're not all great matches. We've got some good ones, let's put it that way, that you can
it's not that bad though. I mean, it's Warren, it's Schlitz, Charlie Morton, Casey Mize, Paddock, Flaherty.
It's all pitchers who can pitch out of their ass, or they've been lit up in the last like 3 starts.
Yeah, Flaherty's been lit up, hasn't he?
Great. This last start he has, other than that, 8 like really good starts before that. But yes, it's my point being, they all can be lit up, Ryan. Yes, they can be like a Christmas tree. All right. One other thing I want to bring up, because this is a great. Let me see what his roster is before I mouth off too much. What are you doing with the closing situation? Because you got Topa, you got Sands. Topa got the save. I kind of like Topa's skill sets. I know I have him in some DCs for this potential option. Are you still with Sands like everybody else and their mom? Or are you switching to Topa, or do you just not care?
Probably not caring. I mean, I think it was widely thought that it'd be Cole Sands, but like you said, Topa got the save. The one save that we have, Topa, I mean, basically very, very middle reliever for his career. I mean, he's 34 years old. Like, I don't think there's, I don't know. Even Cole Sands, I wasn't, and like, how big is, like, Minnesota's absolutely terrible. Like,
they're a quad A team right now.
I don't know. Yeah, you want to talk about stream against. Like, I'm streaming against the Twins more than I am the White Sox, but certainly. But, like, even Cole Sands this year is a 14% K minus walk, a 422. Like, he's nothing special either. So I didn't really get the Sands love. I'm mostly staying away from the Twins closing situation.
Yeah, I don't blame you one bit. All right, let's head to the AL West, the Sacramento Athletics. Six games at home this week, as you mentioned, three against Tampa, three against the Angels, one lefty, five righties. That Angels series is juicy, my friend. So, yeah, you mentioned Blade, so talk about him. What do you got?
Well, yeah, so J.J. Blade is back, homered this week, hitting probably cleanup against righties. It's at home. It's great matchup, so, and widely rostered. So basically checks every single box that I think you would want to check there. So J.J. Blade, I think, is a very good add for this week and potentially beyond. Do you have anything else on the lineup?
Cortez sat against the last righty, but played the first two with five righties. Yeah, Cortez, deep yeah. leagues, sure. But Max Muncy is supposed to be coming back potentially next week. Keep an eye on that. If we get better news over the weekend, he'd be a guy, because Luis Urias, he's been banged up. Gio Urshela stinks. There's an avenue for Max Muncy to come in with the six games at home. That could be a potential stream for sure.
I like Jack Perkins, who I thought maybe would be a closer. I think got a save last week or something, but now he's in the rotation. Jack Perkins, he needs to stretch out, and you know it was 62 pitches last time out, so maybe he doesn't need to stretch out too much. But Jack Perkins, pretty good in the minors. 2.86 ERA in AAA this year. Not pretty good. Very good in the minors. 27% strikeout minus walk for Jack Perkins in AAA. 44 innings. I think they can. Like, I think Perkins, they're basically auditioning him for a rotation role for next season. I think we can take advantage of that. Maybe in another start or two, he'll be fully stretched out, and I think you can roll with him in a lot of formats.
Yep, totally agree on that. You can go with that. We mentioned the other night Severino's pitching better. I still don't like this ballpark at all, but something to keep in mind down the stretch when it comes to the Athletics games. But overall, not too concerned with that bullpen. Do you care? Because I don't trust Sean Newcomb. Michael Kelly has not been great. I don't know what the hell's going on. I think Luis Morales should be the guy, but I don't think they're going to give it to him.
That would be sweet. I would like that too, but I don't think that's going to happen. So I'm staying away from the A's bullpen as well. Real quick, Jeffrey Springs, I know, is he widely rostered?
He should be.
Yeah, he's 98%. But you want to start Jeffrey Springs going forward. He gets, I think, the friendliest or one of the friendliest matchups these next couple of days. A two-step next week against the Rays and the Angels, which is beautiful. So just throwing that out there for Jeffrey Springs. Nice two-step this coming week. Jacob Lopez shoved. He's been awesome. Good to see.
Yes. Looked great against that lowly Nationals team, which we'll talk about soon and maybe stream against in the coming days, because it is ice cold in Washington for the Nats. All right, let's go to the Houston Astros. Six games this week, all at home, three versus Boston, three versus Baltimore, two lefties, four righties for an Astros team that is locked and loaded. The trades have been paying off for them. Those that were worried about Yainer Diaz shouldn't be. It's a team clicking on all cylinders at the moment.
Yeah, old Mariners game and a half back, so that's gonna
I'm not knocking the Mariners on fire.
No, yeah, no, it's turning into a pretty good race. Yeah, the Astros are 13 games over 500 right now. So they have played well. And I think the highlight here is Spencer Arrighetti came back this past week. I guess that wasn't a highlight because he got shelled. But Christian Javier, right, is due back next week, right?
Javier, it could be this weekend, actually, and then potentially next week, yes. So he's got that coming. And then also an update on Luis Garcia. He pitched really well in his rehab start on Thursday. He's probably got one more rehab start next week, and he'll be coming back as well. So he might go to the bullpen, as they'll be crowded now with Spencer Arrighetti already back. But Christian Javier should be taking either Colton Gordon or Jason Alexander's spot. Hopefully Jason Alexander will be the first one out. So, yes, Christian Javier would be a great guy to add. Problem is, he's got to pitch first. So keep an eye on that.
Yeah, and, well, that may not be a huge I think you want to grab Javier and see how he does first before you actually start Christian Javier. 15 strikeouts, 15 walks in 14 innings in his rehab assignment. So, like, the rehab hasn't gone, and I don't know. It's tricky to take stats from a rehab assignment when you're just trying to get healthy and work on things. But yeah, I'm interested in Christian Javier. I probably wouldn't start him out the gate. And again, you might not have to if he starts this weekend.
Yeah, my point in the NFBC is you can't add until you pitch.
Yep.
So yeah, it wouldn't even matter. Other than that, I got nothing in Houston. They're quick. They're going. Most guys are rostered. Arrighetti should be rostered, so nothing to worry about there. Angels, 6 games this week, 3 at home versus the Dodgers, 3 at Sacramento, which is a good one for you. 1 lefty, 5 righties. That 1 lefty is in Sacramento, and that is Jeffrey Springs, who you mentioned. So what do you like for the Angels, a team that not good at baseball, but offensively they hit for a lot of powers, is the best way I can say it. They're sneaky in that regard.
Yeah, I don't really have anything, honestly.
There's the main guys are rostered.
Yeah.
The one guy I will mention, and I wrote about him like a week or two ago, and then he gets called up, and I'm still trying to figure it out, but he is 26 years old. His name's Bryce Teodosio. He plays center field for them pretty much every day, hits 9th. He's hit safely in his last 3 games, got 3 stolen bases over that stretch. I saw a tweet about guys that do prospects. He's the only prospect with a 70 grade defense since Pete Crow Armstrong, if that rings a bell.
Wow.
Anybody? Now, that's defense, but that keeps you on the field, is my point with that. And at AAA this year for Teodosio, he played in 25 games because he was injured early in the season, but hit .330 with a home run and 10 stolen bases over 25 games. So tons of speed, can hit for average. Like, at least in a deep league, that's a play. And maybe if you wanted to stream him and play him in Sacramento over the weekend and see how he does, maybe take advantage of that going down the road. I think there's something here with Teodosio if he continues to play.
Interesting. Yeah, with the playing time and the stolen base pedigree, like, that can matter as you're trying to optimize categories over the last few weeks of the season. So I like it.
Yes, every once in a while I pull something out of my butt, so we're good there. But other than that, when it comes to the Angels, not much else to like. Their pitching staff outside of Kikuchi and Soriano, an absolute joke. Jansen's closer, so I got nothing else for you.
Yeah, same. I was hoping for a Reed Detmers closer experience, but Angels could not move Kenley Jansen. I'm sure they probably tried. They didn't move. They just chilled.
They just picked up Andrew Chafin and one other reliever and called it a day. Seattle Mariners. Oh, by the way, I didn't mention this. So I'm at the game on Monday, and 7th inning, this one dude, some lefty reliever, comes out, and they do the whole light show with flames and stuff. I'm like, what the heck? Who is this guy? Next day, DFA'd. I freaking laughed. I was like, usually the closer, like Jansen had it, closer gets it, makes sense. 7th, the two relievers after the dude didn't get a show, just the one guy. I'm like, what is going on here? And then I saw, I'm in line at Disney, I get a note from like Underdog DFA, and I'm like, yeah, that's awesome. So good.
Well, it could just be like a plug and play light show, just a generic one, and they just swap out the name or something, but I don't know. Who knows?
Maybe.
That is funny.
All right, let's go to the Seattle Mariners here. They have 6 games this week, all on the road. 3 at Baltimore, 3 at the New York Mets, 2 lefties, 4 righties for your Mariners, who nuclear hot, my friend.
Nuclear hot, fun team to watch right now. Josh Naylor's just potentially hurt his shoulder again today on Thursday, so we want to monitor that. But Josh Naylor is a stealing machine. Since coming over to the Mariners, again, nothing you can really do fab wise. Really, not much you can do fab wise for this lineup because it is so deep now. Like, you can stream the occasional Dom Canzone, but it's a four game righty week for Seattle. So I don't think Canzone's, you know, quite good enough for streaming for four games. But outside of that, like, this lineup's pretty much locked and loaded, and there's not much you can do Fabwise. I mean, if Naylor is out for a while, like Donovan Solano came in today, but you're not going there.
Yeah, that's a tough sell right there. Bryce Miller's rehabbing. He's probably got a couple more rehab starts to go if that interests you. Otherwise, I got nothing on Seattle. This team is good. And outside of the Naylor situation, not much.
I'm so thrilled with what Seattle did at the deadline and just like not giving up much to do it. Like, Trader Jerry played that quite well. It's like he's done
top 10 prospects. That was very well done, to your point. Texas Rangers, they have six games this week, three at home versus Arizona, three at the Toronto Blue Jays, one lefty, five righties. Texas team that is a scuffling mess.
Scuffling mess indeed. I guess we should talk about the ninth, right? Robert Garcia versus Phil Maton.
It's Phil Maton time, folks. Like, Garcia's given up home runs in three straight starts or outings. Like, it's bad. And if you just dig deeper, because again, this is another thing I wrote this past week, you dig deeper into his numbers, they have not been good for a little while. Like, he's still getting like some strikeouts, a swing and miss, but overall production, like for a closer, not cutting it. So I think Maton, 23% rostered in OCs, I'd be taking stabs at that this week.
And very low roster rate because we just assumed with the move to Texas it would be Garcia, but yeah, has since imploded. So I would take Maton over. Devin Williams is going to be the new Colson Montgomery. You're going to pair.
Yes, it's a fair conversation,
but it really is. It is.
I take Maton over him.
Okay, you take Maton, and then so you take Maton over any athletic closer. Like, Maton is probably one of the top priority because again, all the trade deadline closers were picked up last week. So Maton could go for some bucks depending on how the weekend shakes out.
Yeah, as long as nothing like, to your point, goes completely haywire in this conversation, yes, it should be. One thing I will mention, deeper league only, util only situation, but Jock Jams is back, playing versus righties. You got five righties this week, and he's kind of hitting right now. He's come back. I'll give you that. Like, he had the walk-off home run the other night, which is something to keep off of Devin Williams. As we mentioned him again on this conversation, but he's hit safely in four of his last six games with that one homer. Like, it's baby steps, but you know, when Jock gets going, and he's going to play at least five of the six games next week.
Hey, and if the Colson Montgomery multiple mentions worked for him, just keep mentioning Devin Williams, please.
Yep, that's why I'm not going to be dropping him now. Like, it's four, three saves next week. No, I'm just kidding. All right, let's head to the National League. The Atlanta Braves, six games this week, three at the Mets, three at the Guardians, three lefties, three righties. And this Braves team, they can't wait for September 30th fast enough.
Yeah, we're shutting it down. I don't know. I don't have that much on the Braves in terms of like the lineup. Like, Eli White's been hitting pretty good of late, and playing time, at least for now, is safe with Acuna out, so I kind of like that. Though Acuna has some encouraging rehab news, I guess. So maybe Eli White is not out, is not playing every day for that long.
Yeah, Eli White or Acuna is playing. He's taking batting practice, taking some infield, I guess, to keep him loose. I still don't know why he'd rush him back, but we'll see on that. Chris Sale's going to start a rehab assignment shortly. That's still probably a few weeks out before we can even think about that, too.
Real quick, I like Joey Wentz as a streamer this week. He gets Miami this weekend, but then at Cleveland. Cleveland's pretty bad against lefties, so I like Joey Wentz as a streamer next week against the Guardians.
I like it. The Miami Marlins, they have six games, three at Cleveland, three at Boston, two lefties, four righties for those Marlins. Again, a team that's swinging it quite well. You see Goose got two steals the other night? Like, the dude just keeps balling out right now, which is great to see. What do you like when it comes to Graham Pauly's hitting home runs? What interests you with the Marlins?
Yeah, team can hit, but not too much, honestly. Like, ultimate pop-up guy, at least for me, again, was on vacation last week. But, like, where did Jacob Marcy come from? And, like, holy hell, he has a ton of stolen bases in the minors. I don't know how widely rostered Marcy is. I'll tell you
right now.
He wasn't 78%. And, like, no one had – well, I shouldn't say no one had heard of him, like, but came out of nowhere.
Yeah, like people, I think we're thinking more next year for Jacob Marcy. So this was a bit early in the progression of him, and it's panning out quite well, to your point.
Yeah. Constantly staying away from the Marlins closer situation.
Dude.
All season it's been. I mean, Ronnie Enriquez, I think, pitched the 6th or 7th on Wednesday, and some dude named Lake Bashar. Like, that's, it's like where you go to, on vacation somewhere. You go to Lake Bashar.
Yeah, that's bad. That's so he's where Dexter puts his bodies.
I didn't get that one, but
yeah, sorry.
Hopefully someone did.
Yeah, they will. But yeah, it's bad. I dropped Enriquez in a couple of leagues this past week. I said I'm done with it. Out. So yeah, people are all excited about the good doctor. We said that was a bad idea. So far, it hasn't worked out this week. It's just, it's a mess. You'll never know what you're gonna. It's worse than the box of chocolate. You really don't know what you're gonna get, and sometimes just a giant piece.
Usually it's not chocolate.
No, it looks like chocolate, but it's not.
Yeah, doesn't smell like it. Either,
no. All right, New York Mets, 6 games, 3 at home versus Atlanta, 3 at home versus Seattle. All righties on tap for the Mets offense that is struggling a lot right now. Right?
Yes. Very bad offense lately at a bad time for the Mets. So you don't like to see that. I don't have too much in terms of pickups. This is definitely a week to start Cedric Mullins, but I think he's pretty widely rostered anyway. So, yeah, I don't have much.
Some smart people are saying it's Brandon Sproat watch. Do with that what you wish. It's almost time for rookies to be able to call up and still be rookies for next year. Frankie Montas is hanging on by a thread in that rotation. So that would be the only real thing I'd have for you in that regard, because I'm not recommending Carrasco or Elder versus the Mets.
Ooh, even Sproat. And I liked Sproat. Took him on some draft and holds entering the season. But 10% K-minus walk in AAA this year. 11% swinging strike rate. Like, that's not great at all. So I wouldn't go overboard, even if Brandon Sproat is called up.
Good point. Very good point. Philadelphia Phillies, 6 games, 3 at Great American Small Park, 4 at Washington, 3 lefties, 4 righties for a team. What we say every week, Ryan, plays the same guys.
Yeah, and continues to be that way. I mean, the occasional Brandon Marsh stream or Kepler stream, but even though it is a 7-game week, it's those 4 righties, and it's a pretty tough slate, so I don't really have anything here.
Most concerning thing is see how Zach Wheeler pitches on Sunday.
I know. Yeah.
Back because of a shoulder. MRI was MRI was clean, they say, but don't like hearing that at all.
No. And we can safely assume Yoan Duran is the.
Yes.
The guy, as he should be.
I saw Yoan Durantula t-shirts. I've seen the light show. Like, they fully embraced that situation. Yes.
Well, given your last light show comment, maybe Duran will get DFA'd tomorrow.
No, he deserves it. He's different. Washington Nationals, 7 games, 3 at Kansas City, 4 versus Philadelphia, 3 lefties, 4 righties for, like we said, the Mets are struggling, the Nats. It's like James Wood can't even be started really right now. Yeah. Like, he's a bench. You're not dropping him by any means, but you're not starting him. Like, I don't think you're starting anybody in this lineup. Maybe CJ Abrams. That's about it.
Certainly CJ Abrams, but that's pretty much it. This is definite stream against territory. So those guys would be Bailey Falter, Waka,
two-step, yeah,
Lugo, Lizardo.
Yeah, we're doing it.
Wheeler. Whoa, is that Nola on the sheet?
They say this every week, and the dude isn't. No, he hasn't even had a rehab start yet.
It might be Austin. We don't know.
It says A Nola.
We don't know. I doubt that would be Aaron Nola next weekend.
No. Like, literally, I cover the news pretty much every day. Oh, he actually has two rehab starts. I'm an idiot.
Hey, maybe it is. I'm an idiot. We back.
Oh, he could be coming back soon. He threw 6 2/3 innings in his last rehab start. How did I? Oh, that was yesterday. That's why I missed it. Okay.
Aaron Nola's back. Are we rolling with Aaron Nola against the Nats next week?
Dude, that's a dream comeback. I'll say that much, but. You're the guy. Wait. Are you rolling with Aaron Nola versus the Nats?
Can't wait to get hurt again. It's going to be glorious.
I can't wait to watch. Sorry.
It's going to be bad.
So that's a yes.
I will not probably start Aaron Nola off, even though it's a good matchup. I would not do it.
Great matchup indeed, but I would tread lightly in that situation. He's been off for a few months right now, but good to see him back. Yeah, I missed that rehab start was yesterday on Wednesday, so that's why I would have come up in my Thursday news. All right. Chicago Cubs, 6 games, 3 at Toronto, 3 versus Pittsburgh, 1 lefty and 5 righties for the Cubs. Another team that's pretty much locked and loaded.
Pretty much locked and loaded. Just kind of watching what happens with the mascot, with Willie Castro. Kind of playing. So I know. Like he has started the last 5 games, but playing right field, center field, third base, second base. And maybe Willie Castro will continue to do that and just give periodic breaks to other guys at every position. So maybe I shouldn't be too worried about our mascot, but feel like he's kind of homeless right now on that team, but just kind of filling in everywhere.
Yeah, I dropped him, and I'm kind of if they're actually going to keep playing him every day, that's kind of frustrating. But then I looked at his numbers in a 12. It's like 10 homers, 9 steals. It's not doing you anything.
So yeah, not
didn't hurt as bad once I looked at it deeper. And that's
not our best mascot call. We gotta rehuddle for next year there.
Yep, I jumped the gun on that one. It's my fault. Cincinnati Reds, 6 games in Great American, 3 versus Philly, 3 versus Milwaukee. Tough pitching matchups. Good ballpark. 2 lefties and 4 righties. I don't think I'm running to stream a bunch of guys right now in Cincinnati.
I'm not either. That's the tough part. Like, you're certainly starting the Reds that you do have, but outside of that, like, I'm not. Like, Brian Hayes is playing third base every day, but hitting the bottom of the order. It's a better lineup, better park, but the guy still has no power. So I don't even think, like, Brian Hayes. Like, maybe if you're desperate at third base, you could go there, a corner or something, but I don't see much in the Reds lineup to go after fab-wise.
Yeah, and if you're pitching, Nick Martinez is back in the rotation. I'm not saying pick up Nick Martinez, just throwing it out there that he's back in the rotation.
Yeah.
Milwaukee Brewers, 6 games, 3 at home versus Pittsburgh, 3 at Great American. It's 2 lefties and 4 righties for Milwaukee. If you waited on Andrew Vaughn, shame on you. That's not an option. He was 97% rostered now, so that's not happening. But Isaac Collins is up to 77%. Like, this Brewers team is pretty much widely rostered now.
Crazy to see Isaac Collins. That's who the note I had. Not only
South,
do his thing,
South but Frelick, 98%. Like, good Lord.
Yes, they're all rostered, except for like Joey Ortiz and Anthony Siegler, who has pretty much taken the third base job. I guess it's a platoon from Caleb Durbin.
Yeah, that's the takeaway, though. Like, I dropped Caleb Durbin a lot of places last week. I was kind of nervous, but he is sitting versus every righty right now. So
yeah,
that's a tough one to sit with these days, folks.
You've got Logan Henderson switching over the pitching side for Milwaukee. You do have Logan Henderson, but it may not be for long, depending on how long the Miz is out. And Logan Henderson gets the Cubs next week. So it's not the best matchup for someone whose numbers weren't that great in his first start back from the minors. So I don't even know if I'd roll with Logan Henderson next week, or thus pick him up. If you don't start him against the Cubs, does he even make another start after that, assuming the Miz comes back? So I don't know.
Yeah, that's a tough one. I'd like to see Logan stick around, obviously, but he's not going to take Peralta's, Quintana's, Woodruff, Priester. You can't pick up Woodruff, honestly, but I wrote in for the matchups for Friday. Dude's been so good. They're like 37 Ks, 4 walks, and like 24 or 5 innings. Oh my God, like ridiculously good right now.
Yeah, I've managed to hold off from this comment the entire episode, but Brandon Woodruff warrants it. Very curious where he goes in the 2026 meatball draft 2 weeks from tonight.
Honestly, 2 weeks from last long for that comment out of one of our mouths. That is a good point right there.
But Woodruff's a good one to waste it on, I think, because he has been so damn good.
Yep, but do you trust the health for the whole season? I'm not going to say anymore. I don't want to wish health on anybody. Pittsburgh Pirates, 6 games coming up this week, all on the road. 3 at Milwaukee, 3 at the Cubs, 2 lefties, 4 righties. Another bad baseball team.
Spencer Horowitz has been hitting of late, not playing against lefties. It's a 4-game righty week for Pittsburgh. And it's a tough schedule. So I don't even know if I can go Spencer Horowitz. This team's bad.
Pumping Tommy Pham, but then these guys keep sitting them for no reason. So like, I don't even know what they're doing right now. It makes like Jack Sawinski's playing over Tommy Pham sometimes. Doesn't register at all on that one. So move along. St. Louis Cardinals, 6 games, all at home, 3 versus Colorado, 3 versus the Yankees, 3 lefties, 3 righties, which is not great for streaming, but really good matchups if you have St. Louis Cardinals hitters.
Yep. Agreed. Not much you're doing there in terms of Fab. I think we got a question in the Discord earlier today about Matthew Liberatore, what to do there. And I made a note, a kind of looked at him in the weekly planner, and a couple really good matchups for Matthew Liberatore. Road Rockies, of course, and then at Miami for Liberatore's next two starts. Miami's been better lately, but still not the best against lefties. So if you're thinking of dropping Matthew Liberatore, I get it. It's been bad, but at least get some good matchups coming up. What do you think about the ninth for St. Louis? This week we've had Jojo Romero get the save on Monday, and then Riley O'Brien, Potatoes O'Brien, with the save on Wednesday.
Yeah, that was an extra, so that's fine. Because Jojo got the win. It's Jojo's show. Like the manager flat out came out and said it's Jojo, and he's actually proved it. Okay. Which I'll give him that. Yeah.
He's the only lefty in that pen.
Only lefty's 81% rostered, but barring, like, I guess an occasional late inning, situational spot, he's probably going to get 75-80% of the saves, I'd say.
Okay, good.
At least that's what it looks like. Small sample, of course. Let's head to the NL West. The Arizona Diamondbacks, 6 games on the road, 3 in Texas and 3 in Coors, or 4 in Coors Field. 1 lefty, 6 righties. This is a great week to go pick up Tyler Locklear if you haven't done it yet.
Yeah, nice week to pick up Tyler Locklear. Though probably, if he wasn't picked up last week, you can pick him up this week. Wasn't totally sure where I was going with that one. Outside of that, I don't know.
He's 18% rostered, so you can pick him up.
Really? Okay. Would have thought higher. I don't know. I'm not going to sit here and say Jake McCarthy again. What's with your guy, ADC, Del Castillo?
Dude, I talked to Ben about this. I'm so pissed. Like, I don't even. Some of these teams, man. Like, Alec Thomas is DHing over ADC. Doesn't check it off. Jose Herrera, like, I get ADC's defense isn't great. Fine. So James McCann and Jose Herrera are splitting catching duties. It's just a bizarro world. So you can't roster ADC. He's the best hitting catcher they have right now, and he's getting no playing time because his defense sucks, which is not good.
Also not good. Look at this bullpen.
Oh,
Kendall Graveman, Andrew, Better Call Saul, Frank, Kyle Backus. Good God.
Yeah, I would not worry about that one personally. But the one thing I will say, if you're doing just strictly a weekly stream, strictly weekly, you just want that 4 games in Coors situation, Blaze Alexander's playing every day at third base. He's hitting only like 220, but the dude has that pop, and anytime you can get 4 games in Coors against that pitching staff, almost anybody's available. That's all I'm going to say.
Last name I'll throw out, not for this week, but just keep an eye on it. He may get hurt again, but Jordan Lawler is taking BP if Jordan Lawler makes it back to the majors this year. Like, just been totally bit by injuries, but Jordan Lawler will have a spot when he does get healthy, if he does get healthy this year, and I think is good enough to do something, just needs to stay healthy. Hasn't been able to do it.
Any Tony Disco love?
I don't think so. Should I have any?
You got Sheldon Sacramento, then pitched well. He pitched decent in his last start. I've just been through that roller coaster, and I prefer to stay off of it.
Yeah. Does get Texas next week.
That's why I asked, but yeah, I think I'll still stay away on that one. That feels like a Jock Jams home run in the making. Colorado Rockies, 7 games this week, 3 at St. Louis, 4 at home versus Arizona, 2 lefties, 5 righties on tap. Pretty good week if you have Rockies hitters, even with the 3 games on the road, because the pitching they face is not good. Anything interest you? Like, Moniak will get 5 games, which is always nice. Anything else for you?
Yeah, I thought Moniak, he's 98%, so
yep.
Widely rostered. I feel like warming Bernabell has, I hate to make the pun, but has cooled off this week. Like, this is not a dude. I don't think, could be wrong. Up the middle, you do have, for like the 5th, 6th time, you've got Adele Amador in for Tyro Estrada. I think the playing time will be there.
Yep.
What am I? I get something wrong?
No, I said, yep, you're okay. Right.
Yeah. All right. Playing time will be there. It has not clicked yet for Amador at the majors. It probably won't this time, but I'm just throwing that out there for a deep league middle infield, 7 games, week, and 4 of which are in Coors.
Yep, Amador is going to be playing. You can drop Estrada, who's back on the IL again. Like, it's just it's a lost season for Tyro. Victor Vodnik is closing in Colorado. Oh. If that interests you at all,
no,
probably not. Just throwing it out there. It's another name to throw in the hat of closing options.
Victor Vodnik or Kendall Graveman or Duke Nukem or
yeah, like, none of them. None of the above. Anthony DeSclafani over all of them.
There's a lot of bad bullpens right now. My God.
It's horrific. Yep. Los Angeles Dodgers, 6 games this week. 3 at the Angels, easy trip for them. 3 at home versus San Diego, 1 lefty, 5 righties. Struggling Dodgers team. It seems like they might be waking up with Muncy and coming back. Teoscar hit a little bit. Freddie's been their hottest hitter. Still overall struggling, but maybe getting going.
Yeah, I think, and I don't know, the line to me, the lineup is never a worry. To me, the worry is always the pitching staff, both starting pitching and relievers. So we did get Blake Snell back. I think pitched pretty well on is it one start back for him?
Gave up a couple home runs, but not bad.
I think he had a bunch of Ks. Maybe I'm just imagining
what he does. It's what he does.
That is what he did. Yeah, had 8 Ks, no walks. 3 earned, 5 innings at the Rays. So Snell looks good to go.
With you on that, let's go to the San Diego Padres. 6 games this week, 3 at the Giants, 3 at the Dodgers. So road week for the Pods. 3 lefties and 3 righties, which really puts a damper on things. But I want to shout out your boy, who's still 99% roster, doesn't matter. But Laureano continues to play and hit, even in San Diego. So that move has played off very well for you all season.
And I was worried about that. With Laureano going to San Diego, I wasn't sure if the playing time was going to be there. Split week, very difficult. Man, what happened to clean the sheets? Sheets haven't been cleaned in
I dropped them this in past weeks. Week. I dropped
we started
once, once Ryan O'Hearn got there, and I saw like that first weekend, like you were in Buffalo. I'm like, oh God, O'Hearn's playing like every day. Right? Like, yep, this is over. Like, yep. I think he's out on maternity leave right now or something, it feels like. So, yeah.
Well, he's not. Well, yeah.
I know. I'm being sarcastic. If you need a catcher, too, though, I mentioned this when the trade happened. Freddie Fermin.
Yep.
He's playing very well. He's played 4 of the last 5 at catcher, and he's hitting like he always does. Not a ton of power, but hits for average. So Freddie Fermin would be a catcher, too, if you're in that situation right now.
Pitching-wise, you do have Michael King coming back. Maybe this is fab relevant. I don't know. Michael King in non-IL leagues may have been dropped.
He's still 100% in 12s.
Oh, is he really? That's
surprised by that. With so many leagues with people falling asleep, I'm surprised.
Yeah, I'm surprised by that. But yeah, Michael King is back. I think we'll pitch Sunday sometime this weekend. So make sure to get Michael King back in your life next Monday. Unless this weekend is a disaster, then you might have some decisions to make. Nestor Cortez made his return recently. I think it's the Giants twice. So you like that as a lefty? It's the second easiest schedule per our starting pitcher planner. So I think you can roll with Cortez, even though the skills have been flat out terrible. Your Giants are not good against lefties, so that's more a 15 team play.
Yep, and he's 73% rostered in 12s, but I agree. There's some legs on that one for Nasty Nestor. He's going to come get that beer bet for us. So don't you worry.
Yeah.
Just kidding. San Francisco Giants, 6 games this week, all at home. 3 versus San Diego, 3 versus Tampa Bay, 1 lefty and 5 righties for the Giants. Jerry Encarnacion was back for 2 games. Now he's back on the IL, so that's gone. Not a whole lot I really have here, to be totally honest. Jung-Ho Lee starting to hit. If people gave up on him and he's somehow on your IL, he's playing pretty well. He's 90% rostered in 12s. He'd be a guy to keep an eye on if you want some batting average. He's got extra base hits in the last like 6 games too. So that's a plus. Otherwise, you know, Chapman, Adames, they're all rostered right now.
Yeah, agreed. I don't have really anything to add. I did at the Buffalo Bisons game, AAA, man. You just, their names. David Villar.
Yes. Former lefty mashing.
He was playing. Yeah. Yes. Formerly your guy. So. It's just said VR on the board, and we were talking. He's like, "Is that
if it was Jonathan? That would have been nuts, dude." Like
we were
Jonathan VR versus Shane Bieber, circa 1999.
But no, it was David. It was David.
It's good stuff. All right, that's all 30 teams. Any final thoughts as we worked through the schedule? And it's weird because usually I take my notes. I usually have like almost two full columns of names. I have one column right now. It's getting worse out there in the Fab streets.
Agreed. I think, we mentioned some decent hitting streamers, Blade. I think our top closer ad is going to be Maton.
Yep.
But yeah, so far this can change over the weekend, but so far it looks like a pretty light week in Fab.
Yep. A lot can change to your point, but for now it looks rather light. What do you got for the fan tracks? Most added hitters and pitchers for the past week?
Yeah, so most added in Fantrax was J.J. Bleda, so he is up 8%, up to 46%. Your boy, Isaac Collins, number two. Lenin Sosa, Jacob Marcy, Luke Kieschel. We've talked about all these guys, so that's good. They're the top five risers. Matt Wallner is rising. Is there something I'm missing about Matt Wallner?
He's back. He's hitting with power again. He looks good again. He's widely rostered in OCs.
The now muted Uncle Ted said Matt Wallner was catching. I can't verify that at all. So Spencer Horowitz is up there. Your guy, Teodosio. And then we didn't mention Dalton Varsho for Toronto, but
he's widely rostered too.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. So nothing there.
And what do you got on the pitching side? Because Nick Enright, why?
Don't know why, but up 4% to 6%. Not sure. We did not mention Cade Cavalli.
That's a good call right there.
There we go. Cade Cavalli, the numbers do not look good at all in AAA if you look, but looked a ton of strikeouts in his first appearance with the Nationals. And the skill, I don't know, the skills, like it was a 6 ERA in AAA. The skills were decent under the hood for Cavalli. Only 75 innings this year. I know they're not going to push Cavalli given the
whole
injury history, but I don't know. I think you can roll with him unless that groan was his schedule.
He's got a two-step this week. We'll discuss a little later.
Okay. But no, I think you could be looking at Cade Cavalli unless this is a two-step of death, which it probably is.
Yes. Other than that, there's not much. Severino, we talked about a ton last night. Good doctor, stay away. Talked about Nestor, Topa. Jacob Lopez is 73% roster and 12s pitched great, like you mentioned earlier against Washington, yep. But now he goes back home to Sacramento.
Yep. Cool. So,
let's talk two steps. We'll get to Cavalli last because the Nationals are last.
Come on. Cavalli's last. That's the ultimate tease,
folks. All right. Let's go to the Arizona Diamondbacks. Ryan Nelson and Anthony DeSclafani at Texas, at Colorado.
I will probably throw Nelson. Shit, I'm throwing DeSclafani too.
I would do both in a 15. I would do both in a 15.
I think you're right. Ugh, don't feel great about it. I don't think I could do either in a 12. Matchups.
Yeah, great match. I can't do either in a 12. I could do both in a 15.
Yeah, I could see it.
Jeffrey Springs versus Tampa versus the Angels. Yes.
Yes. Yep.
Spencer Strider's at the Mets at Cleveland. That's a yes. Dean Kramer versus Seattle at Houston.
The Dean. The Dean's always tough, man. He
flashes goodness.
Yeah, he flashes goodness. I would not do it. Seattle and Houston, they're both on fire right now. No, I wouldn't.
That's the thing is, like I'd say if you're trying to get wins, but I don't know if Baltimore wins games this week.
Right. That is an issue. I think win potential is pretty low. And I mean, both those lineups, especially Seattle right now, is just, yeah. So I would not throw the Dean.
Cause that's like where Ryan Nelson and DeSclafani I like in 15s. Cause like those two starts, they could win both of those starts. That's the difference.
Right.
And see where it goes. Garrett Crochet's yes. The Cubbies, Cade Horton at Toronto versus Pittsburgh.
I mean, you have to. Doesn't Cade Horton have like some legendary scoreless streak for a rookie going right now? Toronto's tough, but Pittsburgh makes it better. Toronto does scare me.
Toronto's, and it's in Toronto to top it off. So I guess you roll, but just hope he gets through that Tuesday start. Cincinnati, Andrew Abbott at home versus Philadelphia, at home versus Milwaukee. That's a tough one.
That's very difficult.
And he's been slowly fading, it feels like.
I know. Skills are still decent this season, but has faded. I don't know if I do it in a 12.
Yeah, in a 15,
depends. Depends, but that's those are tough matchups.
Look at his game logs. It's getting.
I mean, the skills didn't support what Andrew Abbott was doing in the first place in the first half. They never at all. So, yeah. 15 very, very hesitant.
Logan Allen versus Miami versus Atlanta in a 15 yes, 12 no.
Yeah, those are dream matchups, man.
Yep.
Against lefties.
Yep. Colorado. Oh, man. Colorado, yeah, Molina. No. He gets one start this week, thank God. You got Molina and Freeland at Seattle versus Arizona.
So Freeland, no. Like I've learned my lesson there. I don't even know who Molina is.
Molina has a 9.22 ERA. He got shifted. Okay. Like, no. Jonathan Cannon versus Detroit at Kansas City. No.
Not doing that.
Chris Paddock at the White Sox at Minnesota.
It's funny, like the Minnesota matchup is more appealing to me than the White Sox matchup. Paddock did not look good against the Twins in his last start, so no, I would not do it.
And for our discard folks, Jack Flaherty at the White Sox at Minnesota. Yes.
Hell yeah. Look at that. 19% K to walk for Flaherty. Good matchups. Let's go.
We ride. For now, they have Christian Javier projected for versus Boston versus Baltimore.
I would not.
If you have a daily league, I'd watch the Boston start, potentially start the Baltimore start, if you have that option. Okay. But if you're in a weekly league, I'd be sitting.
That makes sense. No, that I'm on board with that.
Yeah. Kansas City, Bailey Falter versus Washington versus the White Sox. I think I do it for the Washington start, but that White Sox start is terrifying.
Oh, I mean, the terrifying is Bailey Falter.
But the White Sox are destroying lefties right now.
I don't think I'm doing it, man. Bailey Falter is horrendous.
15s we roll. Jose Soriano versus the Dodgers at the A's. He's been good too, but I don't think I can.
That's a really tough two-step.
He's been good.
He's been good, but that's a brutal two-step.
Here's what I'm going to say.
Tough this week, man.
It's tricky. What I'm going to say is actually I think you do start Soriano at least in a 15 and 12 if you're looking for wins and Ks. Ratios might be damned, but wins and Ks. Because the way I look at it, if you could start Jack Flaherty, what's the difference in him and Soriano right now? I know it's the matchups, but if you're looking for wins and strikeouts, like the Dodgers are striking out a ton. They're not hitting that great. Yes, they're playing better, but they're not playing that great. And Soriano's at home where he pitches a lot better. And then he goes to the A's, which, yes, that's a bad ballpark, but maybe it's Sunday getaway day. Who knows?
Yeah, you're not selling me. I'm not doing it. Okay.
Jansen Junk at Cleveland at Boston. No.
No, I'm not. No. Though I probably am in a 15. I have Junk in the listener league.
Freddie Peralta's a yes. Zebby Matthews has been really good. He gets at the Yankees versus Detroit.
Yeah, I'm doing it. Yeah. He's been really good, but also really bad. Roller coaster.
Yep. Your boy, Clay Holmes versus Atlanta versus Seattle.
No, I don't think you can start Clay Holmes right now, dude.
No, you can't. Yeah, that Atlanta starts really nice, too, but you can't. Will Warren versus Minnesota at St. Louis. I'm doing it.
I'm doing that. That's a pretty good two-step.
Yep. For now, Aaron Nola is a Monday to Sunday at Cincinnati at Washington. Oh, God. You get Great American, but then you get the Nats.
I didn't realize it was a two-step. Aaron Nola and Cincinnati.
Well, because the sheet shows him as Sunday. RotoWire has him as Monday, so it's a two-step. So who knows when he comes back. They're speculating, obviously.
If it's a one step, no, especially at Cincinnati. If it's a two step, I think
if he pitches Sunday, his one step would be Washington.
Oh, that's right. I have it backwards. You're right. If Nolan pitches Sunday, then yes, you're absolutely starting him against Washington.
But if it's a two step for Cincy and Washington,
duh. You know I'm starting his ass.
Oh, I know you are. You have to. It's your brand.
Oh, I'm nervous.
He's 1-7 on the year with a 6.16 ERA.
Thanks for that reminder. Appreciate it.
Shout it out there. Ranger Suarez at Cincy at Washington's a yes.
Always.
Andrew Heaney at Milwaukee at the Cubs.
Ooh, no, I'm not doing that.
That's a no. Yu Darvish at the Giants, at the Dodgers. No.
Agreed.
George Kirby at Baltimore, at the Mets. Yes.
Yep.
Logan Webb is a yes. Miles Mikolas at home versus Colorado, at home versus the Yankees. It's the Red Rockies and then the Yankees.
No, man.
Yeah, no, I can't never Miles Mikolas. He'll never be on my roster to begin with. Ryan Pepiot at the A's, at the Giants. That's a yes.
That's a yes.
Nate the Great's a yes. Doesn't matter who he's facing. Jose Barrios versus Chicago versus Texas Cubs versus the Cubs versus Texas. Yeah.
Yeah. Yep.
Cade Cavalli.
Here we go.
At the Royals versus Philadelphia.
Yeah, let's go. Let's do that.
That's a tough one, but okay. Mitchell Parker, same thing, at Kansas City versus Philadelphia.
Let's not do that.
Let's not do that. Let's not do that one. All right.
I don't know. I don't know if I do Cavalli. That's tough.
That, but the Royals are sneakier than they look. They don't strike out a lot at all. That's the thing, is they'll just keep putting the ball in play on you. And then you have the Phillies, which...
And, like, what's your Cavalli win potential of going five? Yes. Like, he's not going to go over five, realistically. You're
strictly getting him for strikeouts. Tough. Strictly strikeouts and hope he doesn't blow up is what it comes down to.
Michael C. says, even I'd start Nola versus Washington.
Oh, versus Washington, yes. It's that red start in Great American for the first start back off the IL. Doesn't give buckle the woman up. Fuzzies. Yes, buckle up, like double buckle. Get that, like, Top Gun, I'm going Mach 12 buckle.
You need a car seat.
Yes, you need the car seat buckle. I need to haul the clips.
Yeah, you need the.
All right, we got a couple listener questions.
You need the crotch thing.
Yes, it's like you're going on a roller coaster. It's going upside down. You need the whole thing. All right, I got a couple Discord questions before we head out of here. Steve Stoughton says, how does your fab strategy change this late in the season?
For me, it's starting to flip over now to look maximizing categories. I've kind of said this all year, but it's usually I wait till August, mid-August, and we are there where you really need to be. Like in labor, for example, I have the most wins by like five or six wins, and I'm bunched in saves. I'm starting four closers this week, starting Romero, Finnegan, Devin Williams, and some other dude. So really, I'm only starting three closers. Devin Williams, but yeah, like don't be afraid to veer from the traditional like seven starters, two relievers, or same with like the hitting side. Just try and it's definitely time to start looking at categories and maxing that out. Any earlier in the season than this, I think you're doing it too early and overreacting.
Categories, max it out, and just pay attention to your league because you can get a lot of cheap bids right about now. And make sure your waterfalls are very long because we have a question. I'll put this here. The follow-up question to this is from Ben Bingham. Do you want to save X amount of dollars for the last couple of weeks? I have 50-ish dollars left in both of his leagues right now. I usually want at least 20-ish dollars, 25 for the final month so I can get the guys I absolutely have to have. Yeah. But if you have like $4 or $5 a week, that's the $20 number, you can usually get by as the season comes to an end.
Agreed. And that's what kind of where I've been at the last few Septembers is like $4 to $5, especially like in 12 teamers. It's you can get some dudes, 15 teamers. It's a little bit tougher, but yeah, ideally you'd want more, but we all spend. So yeah, if you've got $50 left, try and get down to 20-25 for September. And that should be enough to at least get maybe your second, third choice in a lot of spots.
Definitely. Adam says, what would you set as an acceptable, reasonable projection threshold for starting a seventh, eighth inning relief pitcher, not long relief, instead of a back-end starting pitcher? Three innings pitched, 4.5 Ks, one earned per week. So he's asking, like, what would you put for a guy like a Griffin Jacks or a J.P. Sears type starting pitch, like a Jacks versus Sears before he went to AAA, to throw random names out there. Assume ratio protection is the goal, not the win. Dude, that's something I've preached on this show for years that a lot of people don't all agree with, and I get it. But those, like, that's why Jacks, we've mentioned a few guys that I said Luke Weaver, I would take, like those kind of relievers. We've been preaching Randy Rodriguez for a while, not thinking he'd have a chance to get saves like this. Those ratio strikeout guys are pretty freaking solid.
And that line he threw out is about right. Like three innings, maybe five Ks. I don't know if you're not expecting a win, but if you get good ratios with five Ks, three innings, that's that's what you sign up for if you're starting a kind of elite seventh, eighth inning guy.
Yeah, like you're hoping.
And that's better than like a lot of the two-step guys we just talked about.
Yeah, you're hoping for like two or three appearances. Like one of the guys that's been really good lately, and he's not going to close at all, barring something crazy, Garrett Whitlock for the Red Sox. He's been outstanding late in the game. He's picked up the last two holds for Boston. So that's just one name I want to just give an example to the listeners out there. But even, yeah, and Jax is, you know, he's setting up Fairbanks in Tampa Bay. So that's still a very valid name. So yes, I would go that route over. That's why we didn't put a lot of starting pitchers this week. Let's put it that way. There's just, it's ugly, ugly these days. Yeah. And then Michael C says, any interest in Darnell Harnes? Could see him get run at third base, but Wilson and Muncy are back at some point. And that's the thing, is like, I do like Harnes for now. He's actually playing well. He's playing often. If he were to play all week next week in Sacramento, I would really like it. But I'm afraid that we're going to see Max Muncy back real soon.
Yeah, and I'm probably even lower on Harnes than you are. Like, I has two homers in the majors this year, but a 2% barrel rate at AAA and 445 plate appearances. Like, there's no power, only stole 12 bases. Like, yes, makes contact, but I think it's pretty empty contact, and I think major league pitchers can exploit that. So I'm pretty, and then you add on the playing time uncertainty. So I'm not that high on him.
Yeah, no, that's fine. He's definitely, he'd be one of those $1 type guys.
Yeah,
throw at, yeah, if you want him. All right, we did it once again. Week 21 in the books. Any final thoughts? It's not the best of weeks, but get your Lynn and Sosa on. That's one of the big ones for me this week. You liked your JJ Bleday, which I can't ignore either. Phil Maton, like you mentioned, those are kind of the, at least my first glance back at my list, my main culprits this week.
Now I learned something tonight. You know, Adrian Hauser's on the Rays. So
you're welcome.
That's interesting. Didn't botch anything else. So I'm pretty proud of that one. But yeah, this might be one just kind of fill some holes, look at categories, don't spend too much, and go from there.
Yep. Strictly, it could be a massive cat. Like if you need steals and you want a dollar Teodosio, yeah, stash it, see how it goes, that kind of stuff. Those would be the guys I'd be taking a peek at. But we'll be back with you next week. Should be, barring something crazy, back to our normal schedule next week. So that's a plus. But hey, you still get two episodes no matter what. We're back in that regard. Make sure you check out Ryan on Twitter at RyanBHQ, the podcast at Bubba Bloom Pod, the Patreon, patreon.com/BubbaBloom. And I'm at BD Entry. Until next time, Bubba and the Bloom, episode 266. Catch y'all later. Thank you.